Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Mustalah al-Hadith class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. Now, as you know, we are doing the kitab known as Muqaddimatun fi Usul al-Hadith of Mawlana Abdul Haq al-Dihlawi rahimahullah. And last time we had just completed chapter number 1, which is Al-Faslu al-Awwal fi Ta'rif al-Hadith wa Anwa'ihi, the chapter with regards to the defining what a hadith is and its various types. Now we move on tonight, inshallah, to the second chapter, which is Al-Faslu al-Thani fi Ta'rif al-Sanadi wal-Matni wa'awaridihima. So to start, Bismillah walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. He says, Al-Faslu al-Thani fi Ta'rif al-Sanadi wal-Matni wa'awaridihima. The second chapter, which deals with the defining what is the sanad, which we would translate as that being the chain. And wal matn. The matn is the actual text of the hadith itself. And then he says, wa'awaridihima, and those things which surround it, meaning the sanad, the matn, and whatever else is related to it. So we start out with as-sanad. The sanad. He says, as-sanadu tariqul hadithi wa huwa rijaluhu alladhina rawawhu. That the sanad, it is the road of the hadith, meaning the chain. And when we say the road of the hadith, we mean it is the men, the people who narrate the hadith. So the narrators of the hadith, this is what is being referred to as the sanad. So in English we just simply call it the chain of narrators. So that is what the sanad is. Now we move on to al-isnad. What is, we see the word sanad, now here we see the word isnad. Same root word, but as you can see, two different terms being used. So he says, al-isnad. He says, wal-isnadu bima'anahu, waqad yaji'u bima'ana dhikri sanad, wal-hikayati an tariqi al-matn. He says that the isnad is in the meaning of the word sanad as well. Sometimes the word isnad comes in the meaning of mentioning the sanad, and also to speak about the tariq al-matan is also, it, these three terms, dhikri al-sanad, tariq al-matan, and things, they're all three synonyms. On the point of, is there a difference between sanad and isnad, there's a lot of talk that has been, the ulama have spoken on the topic, is there really a difference between sanad and isnad? In a nutshell, the vast majority of the ulama don't make a distinction between the word sanad and isnad, like we saw previously with the word hadith and khabar and athar. There was more difference of opinion actually than with this words here. That is why you will find time and again the word sanad will be used interchangeably with the word isnad. That's why you'll find, for example, this isnad is authentic or the sanad is daif. One stage they use the word sanad, one stage they use the word isnad. So no, the word isnad is not the plural of the word sanad, but rather asanid is the plural of the word. The plural is asanid, but isnad and sanad are both singular. Isnad is just simply on a different bab. Now, from the Arabic perspective, the abwab, the bab of if'al and infi'al, taf'il, and all these different babs, which give specialities from a meaning perspective to the words. That is the only difference between the word sanad and isnad, is just that isnad is on the bab of if'al. That is why it is isnad. And like I say, this is more from an Arabic perspective that gives it different meanings. Like if we take the word istif'al and if'al and all things like this, these babs put a specific meaning. Like if we take the word, okay, let's take istif'al. The word, this bab gives the meaning of, one of its specialities is to give the meaning of to talab, which is to seek. So when you say like isti'adha, you seek protection. You put it just this word onto this particular bab and it gives you this extra meaning of to seek. And there are quite a number of these babs, and they have numerous specialities of this nature, like this, different meanings and different things of all like this, pretending and all stuff like that. So it comes from the same root word sanad and isnad, and both of them are singular, but the meaning, as far as the majority of the ulama are concerned, it is two words to describe the same thing. There are some ulama who say that some small difference between sanad and isnad, but that's a very rarely you actually find a difference like this. Like I mentioned now, or rather as the kitab mentions here, ذِكْرِ الْحِكَايَةِ عَنْ طَرِيقِ الْمَتَنِ and things like this. Other ulama say that the word isnad is more used when the hadith is being attributed to the narrator. And then in that case, they would not use the word sanad. So, extremely, from a technical basis, you will find the difference being made between the word sanad and isnad. But as far as the vast majority of the ulama goes, and as far as you'll basically be seeing the usage of the word sanad and isnad, you will find that they are used as interchangeable terms. So therefore, as far as we will go with the lesson, you can safely say that sanad and isnad are in the same meaning. So that's with regards to the sanad. We'll just call it plain old simple sanad. The next point now is the matan. The matan is the text. So he says, al-matnu mantaha ilayhi al-isnad. The matan is that where the sanad or the isnad, whichever term you prefer to use, where it ends, that is where the matan starts. Now here, there's a footnote, number one, he says, أي حيثما تنتهي أسماء الأشخاص الرواة يبدأ متن الحديث ونظرا إلى ذلك ينتهي الإسناد على الصحابي في الحديث المرفوع لأن ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من المتن إذ أنه صاحب الحديث وليس راويا له. He says that where the names of the people who are narrating the hadith ends, that is where the matan, the text of the hadith actually starts. And looking at that, the sanad ends then at a sahabi when it's a marfu' hadith. Now, we did previously what is a marfu' hadith. It is when a hadith is being attributed physically to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a hadith is being attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then where the sahabi ends, by the, let's say Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, where he says qala, before when he says there onwards qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that point where he last said qala, that is when the sanad now ends and now the matan starts. He says because the mentioning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is part of the matan. Because the reason why is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the sahibul hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the person who is saying, or rather whose words is being spoken and related to us. But rather, I should say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not one of the people who is narrating anything to us, but rather we are all narrating it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the source, and we are all just taking from that source, if that makes sense. So the sanad is from, let's say for example, whether it's yourself as a normal person and you trace your chain right up all the way through Imam Bukhari or whichever of the imam of hadith, and it goes right up through each chain till it reaches the tabi'i and it reaches the sahabi, and then it reaches when the sahabi now ends it and he's now going to attribute it further to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is officially where the sanad ends, and now everything thereafter will be matan. Okay, although I say everything thereafter, but you will see as we come later on in the, as we continue on with the lesson, that sometimes the matan starts and then there is an interjection where a sahabi or someone puts, or rather I should say the narrator of the hadith puts in his own words maybe to explain something, so that you will find as you come later on. But generally, in a general case, the matan, the actual text of the hadith, will be from where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned until the end of the hadith. So that's the end of page 40. We move onwards to page 41. He now says, al-muttasil. We've moved on now from the sanad and the matan, the chain of narrations, of narrators, and the actual text. Now he moves on to the, although dealing with the chain of, he'll break down first and deal with the chain of narrators, the sanad. So he says, al-muttasil. The muttasil literally means a connected narration. So he says, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْقُطْ رَاوٍ مِنَ الْبَيْنِ فَالْحَدِيثُ مُتَّصِلٌ وَيُسَمَّ عَدْمُ السُّقُوطِ اتِّصَالًا. He says, if no narrator is dropped out anywhere in the chain, then the hadith is termed as being muttasil, meaning connected. It's connected all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says, this adm al-suqut, this state where no narrators are dropped out, no one is missing, such a this state is called being ittisal. So this hadith is then termed as being a muttasil hadith. Now this is what I was speaking on in the last class when I said that there is a difference between marfu' and muttasil. Marfu' is when a hadith is attributed. Someone says, this is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. While a muttasil narration is a narration where the chain can be authentically linked from one to the next until it reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So one is a mere attribution, while the other one is actually reporting one from the other, from the other, from the other, until it reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is a muttasil. Now a muttasil will affect the authenticity of the hadith, because obviously when everyone is there, then we can look at the narrators and see, okay, this person, he is acceptable, he is thiqa, you can rely on him, this one you can't rely on, and things like that. Then you can see with regards to the narration. While if it's a case where there's a couple of people missing, then obviously that will negatively affect the narration and it will become unacceptable to report such a narration and call it a hadith if there are so many people missing or it's reported through liars and things of that nature. But that all, inshallah, we will come with as we go through the various types and terminologies of the hadith. Now we go on to the next point. He says, Al-Mu'allaq. A Mu'allaq hadith literally, or rather, I missed that one, it's the next one is Al-Munqati'. The next one, Al-Munqati', literally means cut off. So one was connected, and the next one now is cut off. He says, وَإِن سَقَطَ وَاحِدٌ أَوْ أَكْثَرٌ فَالْحَدِيثُ مُنْقَطِعٌ وَهَذَا السُّقُوطُ انْقِطَاعٌ. He means, what he's actually saying here is, وَهَذَا السُّقُوطُ يُسَمَّى انْقِطَاعٌ. Or وَيُسَمَّى هَذَا السُّقُوطُ انْقِطَاعٌ, whichever way you prefer to form the sentence. He says that if one person, or more than one, is dropped out, someone is missing in the chain. I narrate from my great-grandfather. Obviously, my great-grandfather passed away long before I was born, for example now. So how can I narrate from him? So obviously there's somebody missing in the chain. So if there's one person, or more than one person missing in the chain, then in that case the hadith will be termed as being munqati'. It's cut off. There's somebody cut out from it. And this suqut, this dropping and cutting out of somebody, it will be termed as being inqita'. Like ittisal, you have the word inqita'. He's just giving you this word inqita' and ittisal because you'll find the terms, although munqati' and inqita' is exactly the same word, but you'll just find in the narrations it will say there's inqita' in the hadith, and so and or it's ittisal and so on and so forth. So anyway, the first type is muttasil, where the narration is connected with a full chain, and munqati' is where the chain is faulty and somebody has been dropped out. Now we move on to the third type, which is al-mu'allaq. Al-mu'allaq means a hanging, suspended narration. It's okay. You'll see now. He says, "وَالسُّقُوطُ إِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ مِنْ أَوَّلِ السَّنَدِ وَيُسَمَّى مُعَلَّقًا." He says that somebody can be dropped out from the chain. It's either at the beginning of the chain, and then the hadith will be termed as being mu'allaq. It's suspended. وَهَذَا الْإِسْقَاطُ تَعْلِيقًا, meaning, and this dropping of somebody will be termed as being ta'aliq. He says, وَالسَّاقِطُ قَدْ يَكُونُ وَاحِدًا وَقَدْ يَكُونُ أَكْثَرُ وَقَدْ يُحْذَفُ السَّنَدُ كَمَا هُوَ عَادَةُ الْمُصَنِّفِينَ يَقُولُونَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Okay, question. Does matan refer to the original text generally? Yes, that's correct. The actual text of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this will also include the words of the Sahaba. If we take, for example, a hadith, like the famous hadith of Jibreel, the hadith of Hadith Jibreel alayhi salam, which comes at the beginning hadith in so many kitabs, that بينما نحن عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. As that hadith, Hazrat Umar رضي الله عنه narrates that famous hadith. He says, while we were sitting by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب, when suddenly a man appeared to us, who was wearing very white clothing, شديد سواد الشعر, his hair was very black, ليس عليه أثر السفر, there was no sign that he had traveled a journey, ولا يعرفه منا أحد, and none of us recognized him. So he's obviously not a local person because we don't recognize him, but it doesn't look as though he's traveled because he's looking in immaculate condition. And then the hadith continues, and Jibreel alayhi salam asks, what is Iman, what is Islam, what is Ihsan, that lengthy hadith. So all of this of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saying, laying out this whole story and everything, all of this is all will fall under the matan. When it comes to the actual incident itself, all of this is termed as being the matan of the hadith itself. Okay, but anyway, in any case, what he was saying is that when we're looking at a mu'allaq narration, okay, question here. The actual narration starts with a dialogue between Jibreel alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, the hadith continues till eventually Jibreel alayhi salam comes and he speaks and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that obviously those questions that mal islamu, mal imanu, mal ihsanu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds. So should this be only the matan? It would appear so, but the whole, otherwise, if we say that matan, the matan only refers to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the words of Jibreel alayhi salam in the hadith as he asks the questions, that would then not be termed as being matan, because he's then asking a question, so it wouldn't be matan anymore. So, the matan, that's why I did not say when I translated it, I said it's the actual text of the hadith rather than saying it's the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in, like I mentioned, in this case of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the actual words of the hadith is when he starts laying out the story, how it happened. We were sitting by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this one day when suddenly this man came along. Like that. So from that point when he starts and he says, بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, from that point starts the matan of the hadith. And everything which preceded that would be termed the sanad, right up until it reaches Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Because Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he narrates the whole thing right up until Jibreel alayhi salam leaves. And the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they also leave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam then asks Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, أتدري من السائل, then he, do you know who was the questioner? And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَاكَ جِبْرِيل أَتَاكُمْ لِيُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, that was Jibreel alayhi salam who came to teach you your deen. So this whole thing from where Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu start right up until this point at the ending of the hadith, all of this will be termed as being the matan of the hadith. Alright then, so now to come back to where we were with being the mu'allaq, he says that we know that the mu'allaq is now a narration where one or more people has been dropped out, and he says like we did ittisal in qita', and now we find the third type, the third term is ta'liq. The hadith, this dropping of somebody will be termed as being ta'liq. He then says wasaqitu qad yakunu wahidan, that it's possible that one person can be dropped out of the chain, وَقَدْ يَكُونُ أَكْثَرُ, or it can be more than one person dropped out of the chain. Then he mentions a statement here. He says, وَقَدْ يُحْذَفُ السَّنَدُ كَمَا هُوَ عَادَةُ الْمُصَنِّفِينَ يَقُولُونَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He says, and how a hadith is also mu'allaq is when the entire chain of narration is dropped off or taken away, as it is the habit of the authors today, although it is not mentioning today, but as it is the habit of authors where they say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Now on this point, incidentally, is the first person to actually come and start this after he mentioned here that sometimes the entire sanad is, the whole chain of narration is dropped off, as it is the habit of the of certain authors, where the author of a book of hadith would simply say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now the first person to actually start this was Imam At-Tabrizi rahimahullah, the Sahibul Mishkat, as he's normally saying, or rather Sahibul Masabih. The actual kitab is known as Masabih al-Sunnah, and the Khatib al-Tabrizi, Imam Khatib al-Tabrizi, who wrote the kitab, and then the having the Mishkat al-Masabih actually written on there, as we know how the whole story goes. But this of okay, so coming back to what I was mentioning over here is that the first person to actually come about with this was the kitab known as Masabih al-Sunnah. This was the very first kitab where a hadith was reported, just simply saying, mentioning, as you can say, a sahabi, and then narrating it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the whole chain, where Imam Baghawi rahimahullah reports, Imam Baghawi rahimahullah, he wrote Masabih al-Sunnah, Imam At-Tabrizi rahimahullah, he wrote Mishkat al-Masabih, which is putting Masabih al-Sunnah and explaining it and putting it, laying it out in a different method. So in any case, it's more or less Masabih, Mishkat al-Masabih is just expounding on Masabih al-Sunnah. In any case, the kitab Masabih al-Sunnah was the very first kitab where that any muhaddith had written without mentioning the entire sanad. And it was for that reason that Imam Baghawi rahimahullah was, the other muhaddithin had written, not condemnations rather, but they had criticized Imam Baghawi rahimahullah for having started this, where he would write down a hadith and just say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, without having mentioned the sanad at all. So the first person who mentioned it was Imam Baghawi rahimahullah, and obviously it became famous through Mishkat al-Masabih, and that is why you find today so many books everywhere, people write and just simply narrate that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. While prior to the time of Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, no one mentioned a hadith at all, except if he narrated his whole chain, how he got that hadith. That is why you will find always Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nasai, Ibn Majah, and all the other, Imam Tabari, Tabarani, Daylami, and so on and so forth, all the muhaddithin, they would always narrate their chain of narrations to the right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any case, that was with regards to the dropping out the sanad entirely. So he says that sometimes the sanad is dropped out entirely, as it is the habit of the authors, and this, by dropping of the entire sanad, this is also termed as being mu'allaq. And so, which tells you that everybody today, everyone left, right and center, quotes a hadith in mu'allaq form actually, because we quote a hadith, we don't even reference it to Imam Bukhari. Even if we reference it to Imam Bukhari, still too it's mu'allaq, because how many people aren't missing in the chain before it reaches Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. But now, as is the case, we would just simply say, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we drop out maybe 25 or more people in between, and we're just attributing it directly upwards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So technically, all of this, that a hadith that we term, that we narrate today, is all narrated in a mu'allaq form, all as being suspended like this. But here he makes another important point. He says, تَعْلِيقَاتُ الْبُخَارِي, that in Sahih al-Bukhari, there are certain narrations which are in a mu'allaq form. Now the question comes, is a mu'allaq hadith automatically weak? Yes or no? Here he answers it, he says, وَالتَّعْلِيقَاتُ كَثِيرَةٌ فِي تَرَاجِمِ صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي وَلَهَا حُكْمُ الْإِتِّصَالِ لِأَنَّهُ الْتَزَمَ فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَلَّا يَأْتِي إِلَّا بِالصَّحِيحِ ولكنها ليست في مرتبة مسانيده إلا ما ذكر منها مسندا في موضع آخر في موضع آخر من كتابه. He says that the ta'liq, the mu'allaq ahadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports, there are many which comes, he says, in the tarajim. Tarajim here, he's meaning in the headings, Imam Bukhari in his headings of his chapters, in Sahih al-Bukhari, many a times he would narrate a hadith in a mu'allaq form. And he's, Mulana Abdul Haq, he mentions that these mu'allaq narrations of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, they hold the same ruling as a muttasil hadith. Why? Because Imam Bukhari took it upon himself in this kitab, Allah ya'ati illa bisahih, that he will not report anything but that it is authentic. But he says, وَلَكِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ فِي مَرْتَبَةِ مَسَانِيدِهِ. But the mu'allaq ahadith of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah is not on the same level of the rest of his ahadith in his kitab. So if we were to put it on a level, we would say that the ahadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports in his kitab are all sahih, while the ahadith which he reports in mu'allaq form would be hasan. Not necessarily the case, I'm just using it as an example to show that there's a difference between hasan and sahih, even though both are accepted. So here he's just mentioning that there is the narration that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports, it is also considered to be authentic despite the fact that he reports it in a mu'allaq form. Now how Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports does this, for example, is then he would put, Imam Bukhari being a muhaddith and obviously he was also a faqih as well, he would have his headings of his particular chapters to deal with the topic where the hadith is concerning. So he would then maybe say, let's say for example it was a chapter with regards to marriage, some issue of marriage. Then he would maybe mention, just using the words which appear in a hadith and use that as a heading, although those words come from a hadith. So the fact that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports it like that, it's not necessarily that the narration is weak, or rather that there's some sort of weakness to the narration. But the fact that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports it is because Imam Bukhari rahimahullah accepted that there is a basis for it. Maybe not on the level of sahih, but it would then be on the level of hasan and not obviously being a da'if hadith. So a mu'allaq hadith is not necessarily a da'if hadith. That must be remembered. But mu'allaq will also make a hadith da'if depending on what type of ta'liq is happening in the narration. What sort of droppage is taking place, that would affect the hadith obviously to say whether it is authentic or not. But just unrestrictedly being mu'allaq, this is not a cause for a hadith being da'if. So in any case, when Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports like this with in a mu'allaq form, just putting it out like this as a suspended narration, many a times Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports the hadith which he puts like this in a mu'allaq form, he would report the full hadith at a later stage in the book under a different chapter. Here he just wanted, for the sake of brevity, to keep it simple and short, he would maybe just mention a small portion from a particular hadith, not laying the whole hadith out. He just uses the words of a hadith in order to make a heading, because that is the where he's reporting now another narration which is relevant to this particular topic. So in any case, that is with regards to the mu'allaq hadith. Just to read the footnote which comes here. Okay, before I come to the footnote, he says, وَلَكِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ فِي مَرْتَبَةِ مَسَانِيدِهِ. But these narrations which are mu'allaq, suspended, which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports, he says, it's not on the level of the other ahadith which Imam Bukhari reports with his full sanad. إِلَّا مَذَكَّرَ مِنْهَا مُسْنَدًا فِي مَوْضِعٍ آخَرَ مِنْ كِتَابِهِ. Except those narrations which he reports with a full sanad in different places, in another place in his book. Just like I mentioned now, most of the narrations which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports in a mu'allaq form, he reports it at a later stage in his kitab with a full sanad. So those narrations all, despite it being mu'allaq at one stage, but that mu'allaq is raised up to the level of sahih because of obviously the supporting evidence. The same hadith reported with a full chain. But those ahadith which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah does not report with a full chain, and the only place it comes is in that heading as a mu'allaq narration, then those narrations are also muttasil. It's mu'allaq, technically, but it is muttasil, because Imam Bukhari rahimahullah would not report a hadith which was not muttasil, which was not linked and connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the authenticity of the narration would possibly be slightly less than those other narrations which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports with his full sanad. That's the end of that paragraph. So just to read the footnote in regards to it, he says, "Yuradu bi tarajimi al-anawin." The footnote is dealing with the word fi tarajim. The word tarajim, he says here, what Mulana Abdul Haq rahimahullah meant by the word tarajim is anawin, meaning the headings of the chapters. He says, "والكلمات التمهيدية التي تكون كمقدمة وتمهيد لأحاديث الباب." Meaning the headings and those words, also as headings, which Imam Bukhari uses as introductions for the ahadith of a particular chapter. Like I mentioned, he would put, for example, whatever chapter it may be, and he put out some words from another hadith on the chapter of marriage, or on the chapter of jihad, on the chapter of freeing slaves, or something like this. All of this here, which he uses as headings, these ahadith are used in a mu'allaq form. He says, كما يفعل الإمام البخاري حيث يذكر قبل أحاديث الباب بعض الآيات القرآنية والأحاديث والآثار حيث تكون عنوانا وترجمانا للباب. He says, like how Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, when he mentions before the hadith of the actual chapter itself, he normally starts out by mentioning some ayat of the Quran, obviously ayat which relates to this particular topic. Then he would mention, for example, some other ahadith, some athar. Here you see he uses the word ahadith and the word athar. This is now Mulana Salman Nadwi who's using this to again make a distinction between ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and athar, the narrations of the statements of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he would start mentioning an ayat of the Quran or certain ayat of the Quran if there's more than one relating to the topic, mention maybe some ahadith and some statements of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum as well, which deals with this particular topic before he actually comes to the actual hadith, which he then started reporting with his sanad. So all of this, the ayat and the hadith which he reports mu'allaq, and also the statements of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, all of this Imam Bukhari rahimahullah puts as a heading into his kitab, into his chapters. So that's just something on the point of mu'allaq and ta'liq, mu'allaq ta'liq. And that's the end of page 41, and we will be stopping on this point here inshallah. If anyone has any questions, feel free to ask it. I'll just run quickly over the class again, what we had learned. So in this lesson number 2, what we had done, second chapter rather, we learned about the sanad, the chain of narrators, the matan, the actual text of the hadith, and then the awaridha, or rather awaridhima, the surroundings, those things which are related to the sanad and the matan. So we learned that the word sanad and isnad are synonyms. Both are singular, while the word asanid is the plural form. The sanad and the isnad, both of them, it's the tariq al-hadith, it is the narrators, right up until the sahabi who would then report it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which again is like the matan says, ma intaha, or rather as you pronounce it when you join, mantaha ilayhi al-isnad, where the sanad stops, that's where the matan starts. So the sanad stops at a particular sahabi, and immediately after the sahabi is where the matan will then start. Then on the point of the sanad itself, which is what we are dealing with now on page 41, which we have just done now, was muttasil, where the sanad is continuous, it is joined, it is connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an unbroken chain, then it is termed as being muttasil. While if there is one or more people missing from the chain, then the hadith will then be, the chain will then be termed as being munqati', it is cut, there's some fault, someone is missing somewhere in the chain. And then the last term we done was the term which is known as al-mu'allaq, which is the suspended, the hanging narration, which can either be done, someone is dropped off from the start, like say Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he reports a hadith from, skips his teacher, and he reports from someone above his teacher. Or there's he reports from his teacher and his teacher reports from his teacher, but his grand teacher misses out someone and jumps maybe and reaches a sahabi, he misses the tabi'in. That is also termed as being mu'allaq. Or you leave out the whole sanad and you narrate directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you report just from a sahabi from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you report a tabi'i to a sahabi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All cases like this would be termed as being mu'allaq. And then obviously to end it off, he does touch on the most important point where ta'liqat is concerned, because people always come up with this point that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports ta'liq a hadith. Does that mean that that there are weak a hadith in Bukhari? No. As far as Bukhari sahih al-Bukhari is concerned, it is the most authentic book of a hadith, and all the narrations which are contained within it are authentic. There are no weak or fabricated narrations within sahih al-Bukhari. It's either authentic on the level of sahih, as is the general case in the kitab, or it is on the level of hasan, as is the case with some of these ta'liq, these mu'allaq narrations, which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah reports in his kitab without reporting it elsewhere with a full sanad later on. Alright, so then on that point, inshallah, we won't delay any further. We'll end here on this point, on the end of page 41. And next time, we will continue on from page 42, which will be the حكم التعليق بصيغة المعلوم والمجهول. And we'll deal with the تعليق in further detail, inshallah. So until then, we will end for now, inshallah. And we say, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.